Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere and fill our hearts and our minds with your presence. For we ask it in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. It's always fun to look ahead at the lessons. The psalm, which I will not be using in the sermon except for this, I always thought it was interesting that God created Leviathan for the sport of it. God's a sporty kind of guy. Happy birthday, by the way, all you members of the body of Christ. Yay! Today, not exactly sure how old we are, but...
About 1984 years.
There we go.
Give or take.
Give or take.
33 AD.
33.
2017.
1,980. When I do math, I have to do what? I'm like Trigger. Yeah. Well, today's Pentecost, and we just heard two stories that were very different. One was very quiet. The disciples, for fear, are locked in a room, the upper room. Jesus comes among them and, peace be with you, and tells them he's going to send them out. And then, how loud is a breath? Jesus breathed on them. He breathed on them and they said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The other story is kind of loud. There's a loud and violent wind. So loud, people come. Thousands of people come to see what's going on. The disciples start speaking in tongues that they don't know. And I'm just big, huge, miraculous event. Yeah, one's like a party. One's like for introverts, one's for extroverts. A friend of mine from Minnesota told me the worst thing that the twins ever did was build an enclosed stadium. Because all the good Lutherans in the Midwest had been taught by their parents, you do not yell indoors. You have an inside voice and you have an outside voice. And we'll look at both of these. They're both important. And when we gathered yesterday, we heard about both, inside and outside. And go inside for a moment. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." A lot of times when the Spirit comes, it's quiet. Anybody here remember their baptism? Was everyone baptized as an infant? No?
No, I remember my baptism.
I was baptized when I was 5. I remember all my siblings were baptized at the same time. They don't remember it. They were, you know, two of them were babes in arms. And my parents had kids like that. But it was quiet. Nothing dramatic. Nothing dramatic at all. Confirmations usually are pretty quiet. Ordinations, relatively so. When the Spirit comes, it's not always loud and boisterous with horns or whatever. I always tell people, I like it when a baby cries because it makes it seem more like something's happening that you can see. Have any of you ever seen a Russian Orthodox or a Greek Orthodox baptism? And those, it's guaranteed that baby will cry. They have a huge baptismal font and they take the baby and you think the man is abusive. I mean, the priest takes the baby and I love, go home and watch it online. You will laugh. They take the baby, boom! Dunk him in about halfway up, pull him out, slam him back down in the water again, and then hand him to his parents. And the child's If they were asleep, they didn't. Yeah. It's pretty amazing, pretty dramatic. But the Spirit comes not always in loud, boisterous ways, sometimes in quiet, that still, small voice. And I'm thankful we don't baptize that way.
Yes.
Sometimes I used to joke and say, well, maybe we should pinch the babies so that they will make a noise. And then there are other times when it's rather loud and boisterous. It gets that way in here occasionally. When I was baptized in the Spirit, it would actually have been very quiet. There were maybe 15, 20 people present. I'm kneeling, they're laying hands on me, and right as they started, there was a huge clap of thunder and a storm broke. Wow.
Yeah.
It was a dramatic moment of, not by design, maybe on God's part, but certainly not by anyone there. And then there are the dramatic things. Healings. Tongues. Just like in Acts. Just like in the book of Acts. Now, we were promised the Holy Spirit by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would lead us to all truth. He would reveal things to us about Jesus. He's going to be our comforter. Kind of like a companion, our advocate. Anybody remember any other?
Counselor.
The Holy Spirit, I've got a great job description. I mean, lots of things that God, the Holy Spirit, does for us and with us and in us and through us. But when we talked yesterday, actually we were quiet, God was talking. But afterwards we did kind of sit around the table and share the things that God was saying to us collectively. God loves our indoor voice. He loves it when we're here. And loves this worship that we do. It is amazing. I was telling Father Bill and Father Chris this morning, it was the worship in this congregation that brought me here and kept me here. I had heard it was great, although I was told not to come. I came and I knew immediately I was at home in the worship. The Spirit moves here. I think sometimes, and this came out some yesterday, like the disciples, we're not really afraid, but you know, and our doors certainly aren't locked. But this is our refuge. This is our stronghold. This is our fortress in a very dark place. And we love being here. We love being bathed in the light. Sometimes there are worship services where you don't want to leave. You don't want it to end. Or you really get into the praise and you feel the Spirit moving in you and you just don't want that to end. But we also had the conversation yesterday where God was talking to us about what's out there. In the city of Asheville, Western North Carolina, actually in the whole world. You know, back up for a minute, and this came from a conversation with Father Bill earlier this week. When Jesus breathed on the disciples in that upper room, it's interesting that the word used, that verb, and I'm sorry, you know, had I actually written a sermon, I'd have it there. I do not remember. It's not a well-known Greek word because it's only used once in the entire New Testament. He blew on them. He just blew. He breathed. Now, in the Septuagint, which is the Jewish-Greek Bible, has the old, you know, the entire scriptures, the Old Testament, that word is everywhere. Only once in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, it's all over the place. First place you encounter it is in the Garden of Eden. When God makes man, let's see, that's Genesis. That's near the front, isn't it? Genesis 2. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. God's breath, life. God breathes new life into us. At the same time, God's telling us, there's a world out there that's dying. There are walking dead out there. I don't watch that show. I'm not into zombies. But spiritually, that's zombie land. They are the walking dead. Living in darkness while we're in here alive in the light. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We have to have this. But God is saying to us collectively, I don't know how this is to be done. I mean, that revelation, I'm open to hearing it, but I haven't heard it. Saying, we're to carry the light and the life out there. Healing begins here, but it's going to be done out there.
Amen.
It'll begin here, it'll be done out there. To take the word accompanied with signs and wonders out there. To a dying world, a dying city, a dark city. I had, we were worried this. Yeah. How long did you say I had to preach? 9 hours?
No,
that's right. Yeah, no one. Stay away from the windowsills in case you fall out. I had a conversation with a classmate and good friend earlier in the week, telling him what we were doing. He is a Lutheran, but he serves in an Episcopal parish. And a former bishop's assistant. He's a graduate of Duke with honors. Extremely, extremely intelligent man. But he grew up on a tobacco farm. And he likes to be Bubba. He's a smart Bubba, but he has a blog called Bubba with a Bible. But in talking with him, I was talking about the different images of the Spirit that we have. And told him what we were going to be doing. And he said, by the way, he congratulated everyone here and said, that's gutsy that you're all doing. So I'm so used to, you know, just sticking with the liturgy, sticking with the sermon. But we were talked about especially hymns. You ever notice hymns about the Holy Spirit are always, they're really sweet. There was one I mentioned. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew. And you just want to waltz. Do you all know the song Spirit of Gentleness? The title gives that away. It's a gentle flowing kind of thing. And all the nice things the Comforter does. But Delmer said, this is the image I have of the Holy Spirit, is my mother. And I said, I think you're going to have to explain that one. Well, he said, both of his parents worked in a mill. And they were gone. They'd come home around 3:30, but they had to run this tobacco farm. And every day, his mother left a list of all the stuff they were to do when they got home from school. These are your chores. Do them. Delmer, being the smart guy he is, had already figured out how long each of those things took to do. So he knew how much time he had before his parents got home. And so usually, he said, he and his siblings would watch the Dialing for Dollars movie that would come on after school and watch that and then do those chores. He said, but unbeknownst to them, one day, their mother had gotten ill at work and came home early. And she walked in to find her children doing nothing. And he said, she grabbed her favorite weapon, the fly swatter. And she chased them out of the house into the field. And the whole way she was saying, I can't believe that you didn't do what I told you to do. I can't believe it. I wrote it down for you and you still didn't do it. And he said, that's my vision of the Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit coming to the church and saying, why aren't you doing what I told you to do? I wrote it down for you. I told you what to do. And you're not doing it? And that's not exactly my image of the Spirit. But I think that's part of what the Spirit wants us to do. We know what to do. We have been given everything we need. And we come here and we are empowered. And we are trained to go out there. But we haven't yet done it in the way that we should. I don't know how we will, but we will. It's a call from God. And I know all of you are obedient, and all of you love the Lord, and you love those people out there. You have the love of Christ in your heart. And that was a big thing that came out yesterday. What would be the compelling reason for going out there? Not just because we were told to and got less of a list. It's love. Love compels action. Now, think of any love relationship you're in. You don't just tell people you love them, you show them. You do things, not because you feel a sense of obligation, but because you'd love to see them smile. You want them to be happy. You love them. We're called to love them as Christ loves us. And the bishop, when he was here, was talking about breakthrough. Breakthrough. What is our breakthrough? What does the breakthrough look like for this congregation? I don't know, but apparently from what we heard the Lord saying yesterday, it's out there. It's out there. And so, in quiet, we do hear the still small voice of God. We hear that breath. And we are told to receive the Holy Spirit. And we are told by Christ that He is sending us. Now, in joking conversation with Father Bill this week, it was the sense of when the Spirit fell on the disciples, on the apostles, when they were gathered there, they didn't stay there. Every time the Spirit falls on someone, they are changed dramatically, and the story changes. I mean, there weren't people going around the empire saying, "Boy, if you get a chance, you need to go down to Jerusalem and hear those apostles. They're talking a lot about healing and Jesus being raised from the dead. It's a great story. You need to go hear it." They went out. They took it with them. The Spirit took them. And the people in Asheville aren't going to say, "Well, you need to get over there to the Church of the Resurrection. There's healing and stuff going on there." And the Spirit moves mightily in there. You ought to go over there and see it. Go hear it. Go participate in it. No one out there saying that. Now, if we go out there, they may say that. Wow. You say, "Oh, we're such a small group." Jesus started with 12. We got Him beat. And we have the same Spirit. The same Spirit of God. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this service is to be very different. And so, let's spend some quiet time here for a few moments listening to God as we think about these things. Listen, not just with your ears, but with your heart, with your mind, with your whole being. And we will just have a quiet time and then a time of ministry. Amen.